Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, August 20th. There are plans to bring the same urgency to the New River crisis as the Tijuana River crisis. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Starting Monday, Del Sur Elementary students and staff are being relocated to Stone Ranch Elementary. The move is over health concerns relating to a mold outbreak at the Poway Unified School. CBS 8 says this isn't the first time the school has had mold-related issues, adding that there is a local Facebook page called Fighting the Mold at DSE. Poway Unified says it's working with professionals to locate the source of the mold outbreak. CBS 8 says all areas that tested positive for mold fall within the moderate level. Students and staff hope to return to Del Sur Elementary by Monday, September 21st. A Senate bill is being proposed that looks to serve as a pathway forward for the Midway Rising Project in the Sports Arena area. Current plans for the project include more than 4,000 housing units and a 16,000-seat arena. Under the proposed bill, the city's own environmental impact study would be enough to meet California's Environmental Quality Act requirements, more commonly known as CEQA. SB 344 is being spearheaded by Senator Akilah Weber-Pearson, who held a community conversation to hear directly from San Diegans on their pros and cons of the project. Weber-Pearson's office says Midway Rising is planning to break ground in 2027 if approved. Voice of San Diego says a public hearing on the bill is expected to take place later this week. The University of San Diego is the nation's most beautiful college campus and the best for quality of life. That's according to the Princeton Review's Best Colleges for 2027 survey. The publication says more than 170,000 students across the country took part in their survey. It also ranked USD second overall for happiest students, and the college even landed on their Students Love These Colleges list. If you'd like to see what the hype is all about, you can join us this Saturday at USD for our KPBS Book Festival. It's a way of bringing San Diegans together under our shared love of books and reading. I and some of my KPBS colleagues will also be there moderating panel discussions with authors. You can visit kpbs.org to RSVP. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. In Imperial County, the Environmental Protection Agency is responding to calls to end the New River crisis. Officials with the EPA are committing to bring the same urgency to the New River as they have to the Tijuana River crisis at the San Diego-Mexican border. Mike Martucci is with the EPA. He met with the public in Calexico this week.
For all of you to experience this every day, it's not theoretical. There are real consequences. And our goal here today, among other things, is to acknowledge those consequences and talk about action steps moving forward.
He says the EPA is working with Mexico on expanding treatment capacity at a plant in Mexicali to prevent flows from entering the river. A new campaign is underway in California. The idea is to help patients and families learn about hospice care. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says the campaign includes resources aimed at clearing up some common misconceptions.
When you hear the word hospice, you might picture a facility where people go to die. But Susie Johnson says that's not what hospice really is.
It's not a place. It's a care delivery model using a team of trained healthcare professionals.
Johnson has spent nearly four decades caring for people at the end of life at Sharp. She says there's a lot people don't understand about hospice care.
The Hospice Can Help campaign is most certainly a tool to help guide patients and families to make informed decisions.
The campaign includes videos and stories from patients and families, along with questions to consider when choosing a provider on the Cal Hospice website, so families can start doing that research before they need hospice. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Families looking for childcare might try Google, Yelp, or recommendations from friends. Education reporter Katie Anastas says a new website could make the search easier.
An online resource from the YMCA has been relaunched after a major overhaul. It's called Childcare San Diego. Parents can search for childcare openings, contact providers, and find out about financial assistance all in one place.
We really wanted this to be a one-stop shop.
Kim McDougall is with the YMCA of San Diego County. She says the site also helps providers reach new families when spots open up.
Imagine running a small business out of your home, taking care of all these amazing little humans all day, which can be clearly exhausting, and then having to figure out how to market your business.
Cassandra Davis runs an at-home childcare center in Normal Heights. When she started the business a decade ago, she used Craigslist and Nextdoor to advertise. Today, it's word of mouth and lots of emails.
I work 12 hours a day, so me getting back to families is one of the things I struggle with because I have a 1 hour nap time where I'm lucky if everybody's napping. They're not always napping.
Now, parents can contact her directly through childcaresandiego.com. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The County Board of Supervisors yesterday moved toward limiting how county officials can use prediction market platforms like CalSheet. Public Matters reporter Kevin Trevelin says the board also began the process of creating new lobbying restrictions.
Prediction markets allow users to wager on sports, pop culture, politics, and other future outcomes. Following a unanimous vote by supervisors, staff will now draft a plan to prohibit county officials from placing bets tied to county business or non-public information. Supervisor Chair Tara Lawson-Reamer says the board is trying to get ahead of the curve before insider trading becomes an issue locally.
We haven't seen any instances of this happening here at the county, thank goodness. But I always think it's better to have rules in place before something goes sideways.
As part of the same anti-corruption measure, supervisors also ask staff to design restrictions on lobbying. That would be a 2-year minimum period of time before former county officials can turn around and lobby the county for private clients. Kevin Trevelin, KPBS News.
Our county is full of fascinating history. Last week, we brought you the story of the Marston House and the pivotal role the Marston family played in San Diego's early days. For part two of our August Museum of Month, reporter John Carroll takes us to East County, where a treasure trove of history is found in an old house.
The drive from San Diego to Warner Springs is a bit of a trek, almost an hour and a half, depending on traffic. But the time spent getting here is worth it, especially if you're even a little interested in the history of the American West. The Warner Carrillo Ranch House appears all of a sudden as you round a curve on San Felipe Road. The historic adobe structure was here long before the current asphalt pavement. Before the current ranch house was built, this was a camping stop on the Gila Overland Trail to California. That was in the 1840s and 50s. The structure that was here then was built by former California State Senator Jonathan Trumbull Warner. Native Americans who had been there for thousands of years at that point burned it down in an uprising in 1851. It was then rebuilt by the Carrillo family.
The true builder of this building was the lady whose portrait is on the wall over here. And her name is Vicenta Sepúlveda de Yorba de Carrillo.
That is Catherine Fletcher, head docent at the Warner Carrillo Ranch House. She's steeped in the history of this far-flung part of San Diego County.
My family has owned property here since 1939, and it's one of the few places in Southern California that's relatively unchanged in 80 years, and so we're trying to keep it that way.
Vicenta's husband, Ramon Carrillo, was murdered in 1854, leaving Vicenta to run the 9,000-acre ranch and manage a large family. 12 of her 14 children lived into adulthood. But there was much more taking up Vicenta's time than a lot of kids and a ranch.
She has not only all this acreage, she also has the post office and a contract for the Butterfield Stage.
A post office, a trading post, and a stop on the Butterfield Stage. This was California's first regular overland transcontinental stage connection with St. Louis. The 6-year contract with Butterfield ended in 1861 when the Civil War broke out. The Carrillos left their ranch and moved to Anaheim in the late 1860s. Former California Governor John G. Downey bought the place after that and turned it into a massive sheep and cattle operation. The Downey period lasted until the Taylor family arrived.
Sam Taylor and his wife and eight children lived here from 1895 till 1950 in this house with no running water or electricity.
After the Taylors left, the ranch house transitioned into a cowboy bunkhouse and a place to store items needed for the ranch. During the 1930s, the cowboys hosted celebrity visitors here, like John Wayne, who wanted a realistic Old West experience. The Vista Irrigation District bought the ranch house and surrounding 43,000 acres in 1946 for the water rights linked to nearby Lake Henshaw. The ranch house fell into disrepair. Even so, it was named a National Historic Landmark in 1961. The district partnered with SOHO, the Save Our Heritage organization, in 2011 to restore the building. But it's not the only historic building on the site. There's a barn, built a year after the house. It's not restored, but the structure has been stabilized, and Fletcher says there's a good reason to save it.
It is the last hand-hewn barn in San Diego County.
Fletcher says if SOHO can raise the money to restore the barn, they will. But for now, that's a chapter that remains to be written about this extraordinary treasure trove of San Diego County's history. In Warner Springs, John Carroll, KPBS News.
Local band The Midnight Pine plays its last show tomorrow. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans says the band is ready for a meaningful send-off.
In an airy wood shop beneath the Coronado Bridge,
okay, are we ready for trouble?
The Midnight Pine is preparing for its final show. Shelby Bennett has always had one clear goal: to write good songs.
So I think that my idea of success in music has shifted over time, but there's always been I've always had a real hope and sense of possibility and confidence in this work.
Co-writer Alfred Howard says the band is leaving behind a strong legacy.
Just great songs. You know, Shelby has such an incredible voice and range and emotive power, you know. I just think we made some really great music, and hopefully people feel the same.
On Friday night at the Music Box, the band will play their second album, Buried, in its entirety, a metaphor for the band's final moment.
I feel giving the ceremonial, laying it to rest, giving it a proper send-off, celebrating what we all made together.
Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. Today's podcast was edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.